that pose.
Record this. Let's hope that this just records the program and not the whole thing.
Are we on?
Yes, you're on. You're on.
It's official.
You're in the studio. It's official.
Hi, Dad.
And we're gonna fade out Pink Floyd here. Although I lied so much. Okay. First of all, you guys, I have to say, I heard about you guys. I'm gonna go to YouTube and check this out. I'm gonna check out Shine On You Crazy Diamond. And I was tempted to go to, I really wanted to go to McCabe's show, but I was under heavy deadline, so I couldn't go. But I thought, a nine-piece rock band at the, okay, all right. So I saw it, and I was just blown off of my, wow. How long have you guys been in music? Do you guys both study music?
I never studied music formally, really. I started out on piano as a little kid, moved to guitar in my teens and played in rock bands, that kind of thing. I never really did it in school or really made a professional go of it at all. So this is just an amazing kind of side thing for me.
And I took lessons as a kid. I studied for about 4 or 5 years when I was a kid. And I started playing out in bars when I was about 12.
You play all over town,
yeah,
everywhere.
I play everywhere in southwestern Ontario, pretty much. So
busy, man.
Yeah, so something's always on the go with me. So, yeah, it's good, though, because like, what I was looking for, like, I've been in different bands before, and what I was looking for, or something that I was after, was actually Jack and I used to hang out at a place when it was, well, it's now The Hive.
Okay.
But I used to host a jam at Harry's, and Jack would come down, and he's a year younger than I am. Right.
Right.
So he would come down with his dad, Terry.
Yeah.
And we would, like, I would be hosting the jam, and Jack would come up and play or whatever. And then we've been sort of, like, threatening each other. We both had this deep love for Floyd. And so we had been threatening each other for, like, 9 years. Let's start a Floyd band.
Oh,
and then
yeah.
Finally we went to... I went to see this Beatles thing that Numis was putting on.
Yes, with Pete. Yeah, he was my guest a couple times during the whole process. He was on about 4 or 5 times. That was awesome. Yes.
Johnny, the drummer, is a friend of mine.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, this would be perfect for, at least something to start with. So Jack was in right away. And Jack has a lovely girlfriend, Danica. And they, she has a great voice. So Danica was the first, female guest volunteer. And then I thought, well, who else do I know that can sing? So then there's Wendy Tozer.
Right.
Wendy Tozer, I've known for about 2 or 3 years, who I met through Johnny. And her boyfriend, Jay, who's a great all-round musician, like can play pretty much anything. So we had that to start with for the backup singers, and then I had a drummer, bass player, and another guitar player, and then I thought, we need a keyboard player.
Yeah.
So Nick was introduced to me to both of us by Johnny.
Right.
Like, he just kind of brought him in, and then eventually Nick said, well, my wife's a great singer, so all the singers in the band are with someone, and we got like a Fleetwood Mac thing going on. Like, everyone's with someone in the band, and it's great. It creates a family camaraderie kind of thing.
On stage,
awesome.
You can see that.
Yeah.
How long have you guys been? How long have you been practicing, or how long does it take? You did. I remember Pete doing the entire, like, not
Peppers
all the Beatles catalogs, but like 6 albums, something like that. Now he's working on the Bob Dylan stuff.
Yeah.
How long did it take you guys to do Dark Side of the Moon? Because this is still, like, as I was saying, or as I've said many times, one of the greatest selling albums in the world and one of the best albums in rock and roll history.
Mm-hmm.
So how long did it take you guys to do this? Like, it's not easy music to play either.
Yeah, well, we probably had our first practice ever in about March, and that was the first time everyone got together, and instantly we got the feeling that it would be more than just the Floyd cover band thing, because everyone was getting along great, good vibe, and we probably hashed out Dark Side of the Moon, at least, in the first couple practices, but one of the cool things about the band is just the chance to work on these albums for so long. You really get into all the layers of stuff that's going on in the original production that they did with these kind of haggard, barbaric materials, you know?
Yeah.
So trying to even get close to the kind of layering and voices and guitar stuff that's going on in the albums is just about an 8-month project in itself. So we really didn't play out at all until that first show in September.
Yeah, we were kind of hoping to get at least one or two shows under our belt before we hit the stage at Cork Hall or McCabe's or whatever, and that didn't end up happening, and it was probably for the better because it was just more time spent like rehearsing. Mm-hmm. There's something to be said about it. Like, it's kind of funny when I talk to a lot of, like, you know, older full-time musicians, like, in the city, they say stuff like, "Oh, you mean you rehearse?" What do you mean? Like, this is like, you know, it's mandatory to rehearse, especially when you care. So, like, I have a deep love for Floyd. Like, mm-hmm. This is just me, like, a guilty pleasure thing that I've always wanted
to do. Like, right from the Syd Barrett days, the early days?
I have a massive man crush on Dave Gilmore. Like, I just think he's the king of, like, the tone, and as far as I'm concerned. But, you know, there's a lot of other greats that I do respect, but he takes the cake for me anyway.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm gonna play a very old Pink Floyd song.
Nice.
But when I was I lived in England in the 60s.
Ooh.
And I remember Pink Floyd, and they weren't like, they were much more, the other turntable's still going here. They were pop, like, they were not pop, they were psychedelic. They were, I'm gonna,
that early stuff.
Right? I have relics here.
Oh, Syd Barrett?
The old stuff.
I have relics here, so I'm going to play. And I've often played this. I think I played this last week in honor of you guys coming to the show. So let me see if this will work. We're going vinyl here now, so, you know,
nice.
I gotta reach over here.
Analog,
like this,
back to the future.
Yay! Okay, hold on a second here. I gotta stand up. All right, kids, here we go. Guys, tell the listeners more about stuff, and I'm gonna mess around here in the studio.
In general, we're here to promote our show on...
I won't tell you any of the songs, but we can let you know that it's danceable, funky, disco stuff, or a lot of it is. And we're going to have some prizes there. It's because it's so close to Halloween, it's going to be... we're calling it the Dead Rockstars Ball. And we want you guys to come dressed up as your favorite dead rock star. You can come as your favorite rock star, but preferably zombified.
Can you come as a live rock star that's not doing much anymore?
Yeah, exactly.
Just slather some zombie paint on there. And
come as Hall & Oates or something like that.
I was thinking of going as Nasha Slash.
Nice.
Sorry,
nice.
Well, he's around, but he doesn't do much anymore. Mm. So
you can get your tickets at Encore Records
or the
Orange Monkey up in Waterloo.
Or the Edelweiss. And we're gonna give some to Coral too. We were wondering, is it cool if we have maybe a trivia or something where we can give two away, or we can just give two away on the air?
Why don't we do
that? First caller in.
Yep, first caller in, and I'm going to now. I'm gonna play this because I've switched it to the other turntable. So as soon as I put on this song, give us a call 884-2567, and you can win two tickets?
Two tickets. Up for grabs.
It's a night of scary fun.
Yep.
Yeah, okay.
Emily tries, but misunderstands. She's often inclined to borrow somebody's dreams till tomorrow. There is no other day. Let's try it another way. You'll lose your mind and play. Three gates away. See Emily play. Soon after dark, Emily cries. Gazing through trees in sorrow, hardly a sound till tomorrow. Emily plays.
touches the ground.
Okay, okay, we're back on the air here. See, when you're playing vinyl, See Emily, do you know that song? Do you guys know what that song is?
See Emily play.
Yeah. Awesome. Sid Barrett days.
I think Bowie covered it, too.
He did. He covered it on Pinups.
And Arnold Lane, too, he covered.
Yeah, Arnold Lane is on here, too. I can play Arnold Lane for you as well.
I like Arnold Lane. That's a good tune.
So we just had someone call in for two free tickets, and you always want to tell the listeners who won these two free tickets, because obviously he's a friend of yours.
My other dad, Jürgen, won it. It's a long story. I don't have gay parents, but they hang out a lot. It's
you mean
my
like
former
Rachel,
stepdad.
Rachel and Glee, sort of?
Yeah. No, it's my former stepfather and my dad are our best friends. It's a really long.
Oh,
my
cool.
family dynamic That's... is a very long story. But,
yeah.
So anyways,
I hear
my,
you, mine too.
My former stepdad.
Oh, cool.
So he's coming for free?
Yeah, he's coming for free. He could have just bought them off my dad, who has 20 with him right now, but that's fine.
So we think
that's
we
fine.
Might.
Well played, Jürgen, if you're listening. Okay, well played.
He is listening.
Yeah.
Okay, so... So I guess... What is your... And then you also do Wish You Were Here as well.
Yeah, we're doing... Wish You Were Here in its entirety and Dark Side of the Moon. And then we got, like I said, like a mystery... mystery set, if you will. Like, so we've been working hard for the last couple months learning some tunes. Like, there's some disco stuff that we're gonna do and just stuff that's not Floyd related. Like, just, you know, we've been doing Floyd for 8 months, so we wanted to do something different.
Put down our hair and have some fun.
Yeah And I'm a huge, like, personally, in the past 3 months I've had three disco parties at my house.
Disco parties. What's your favorite disco band there?
Oh,
Jesse,
man.
We'll just call it up here on the old computer, because I can do that.
Well, it's
here
not
in
so
Radio
much.
Land.
I like Billy Preston too, like that fun stuff. Billy Preston's great, and I forget the name of the band, but they sing Disco Inferno. That's a great song.
Bee Gees.
Is that no? That wasn't the Bee Gees. They were that Burn Baby Burn.
You do like the Bee Gees.
We do like the Bee Gees. I got nothing against the Bee Gees. Anything disco. Anything. With that driving beat, I just love it.
It's Disco Inferno, BG's metal tribute. Let's see here. Disco Inferno band.
Disco Inferno.
It's from
the OJs, maybe?
Oh, maybe. Zumba Retro. The Tramps?
Oh, maybe it's the Tramps. Yeah, maybe it's the Tramps.
This is a parody. All right. This sounds fun. Why don't we do this?
I like it.
Calling up the Tramps here.
We can spin as much disco as we want. Like, that's fine by me.
I have tons of disco. Let's play some Disco Inferno here on Coral FM.
Nice.
And we'll be right back with Jesse Weber and Jack Pender from the Crazy Diamonds.
I heard somebody say
That was the Tramps doing Disco Inferno. Woo-hoo. So you guys do disco, eh? I should say, if you're just tuning in, I don't even know what time it is. What time is it?
It's 5:30.
5:30. If you're just tuning in, this is Coral FM, and I'm here till around 6 o'clock, and I have Jesse Weber and Jack Penner in the studio with me from the Crazy Diamonds, and we're just talking music. And we're talking their show on October 27th at the Edelweiss. So it's in the big, it's in the large hall,
the
right?
The banquet hall, yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
You can have your wedding, you can have your float show.
It's yeah.
All-purpose, great venue.
All-purpose, great venue. Yeah, it is pretty cool.
And the staff there are great, and the service is awesome there.
Yeah, that's awesome. Good.
Yeah.
So are there going to be, like, is there going to be, like, you know, munchies and all that kind of stuff, too? Bar munchies?
Well, it is, like, there is a restaurant there, so if you get hungry, it backs right onto the restaurant.
Yeah, that's true, too.
Or food. We were thinking about doing catering, but it's a whole different... it's a whole different ball game, right?
So. Yeah. So that stage, I was just there recently, actually.
Yeah.
So 9 people on that... Let's talk about the logistics of the band with 9 people on stage.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
How does this work?
carefully. For me personally, like, I never really know what I'm getting into until I get there, right?
Yep.
Fortunately enough, I have a family member in production who works with Palmer Audio, my Uncle Mark.
Okay.
Who's providing a lot of the lighting for us and stuff like that. So he's gone and kind of scoped out the scene for us, and he knows exactly what we need. And, you know, he's one of those guys that, because, you know, we're family, he's gonna definitely give us a good light show when we ask for it, right?
Yeah,
and plus he's a huge Floyd fan, so
you need that, you know, when you're doing Pink Floyd.
Oh, yeah,
you need the lights.
And we had a great first show. Like, our first show was fantastic. The light, we had the truss lighting and everything, and it was a good success for all of us. And it kind of, you know, it changes you, like, how you approach a gig when you see, you know, you see a crew working on a stage setup for you. When you get to the gig, you're like, oh, you know, this is like kind of like a real gig.
Yeah.
It's not just a bar gig at that point, right? So it's kind of cool.
Who mixes you?
Because
that's a big deal, because you've got 9 different.
Yeah. Well, we had Mark Fortuna, who runs the Sound Academy. Is it the Sound Academy?
Yeah, I think it's at
the Sound Academy. Sound Academy in Toronto. So he's the head of production there.
Yeah, that's great.
He did our first one, and we had Brian Alexanian mixing
us for this one.
And he toured with the Wailers for 20 years. So
long time sound guy.
We figured he knows what he's kind of doing. Yeah. And he's a great friend of mine. We drink together a couple nights a week, so he's so awesome.
So that's good. So basically, so the how is the show going to run? Like, you're going to do Dark Side of the Moon first and then Wish You Were Here, or...? How long is the show?
It should go for about 3 hours. We wanted to make a good night of it this time.
Yeah.
At the first show, we did Wish You Were Here first, and then built up to Dark Side, because it's a good ender, and it's probably the one that more people would come to see. Wish You Were Here is for the kind of hardcore Floyd heads, I'd say.
Yeah.
So for this one, we were thinking about doing it chronologically this time, but we'll probably just leave it for a surprise for the night of.
Yeah, we don't really, like, that's the kind of, the other cool thing about being in this kind of family band is, like, there is the ability to talk things out, and it's not just one guy calling the shots.
Yeah, because
so if the day of we decide to do Dark Side of the Moon first, then that's how it's going to go. But, like, it's kind of like, you know, we'll figure that out when we get there. The important thing is that we have them down and locked in, and then, the order, I don't know. Like, it's kind of one of those things, Jack and I can't really make the executive decision. We all kind of got to sit down with a coffee and kind of think about it.
And we will be ending with the dance set, though.
Yeah, the last one is going to be this mystery set that all the hype's about.
So I'll be coming fresh from Biff Naked, so I'll be going, okay,
yeah,
I'm going
that
from
is a
hardcore
big show that
punk
night,
into... that's going to be wild. The instrumentation of Pink Floyd is not easy.
No.
What's the hardest song for you guys, and why?
What was the hardest one for us to lock down?
Well, I mean,
Welcome to the Machine took a long time.
Yeah,
for
stuff
us to
like
get.
Shine On is crazy in terms of arrangement, but like Welcome to the Machine and lots of stuff.
Took us
on
about a month
Dark
to get
Side.
That tuned down.
It's just very textured and has that certain kind of studio vibe.
And,
and a lot of the music geeks out there listening, Money. If you know the tune Money off of Dark Side of the Moon, it's in 7/4 timing or 7/8 timing.
Yeah.
So, like, I mean, it just it feels natural for me to play it now, but to get into that mindset wasn't exactly a natural process. Instead of counting to four, you count to seven. I mean, who counts to seven when you're playing music, right?
Yeah.
So there, and then there's a lot of tempo changes and like, you know, well, yeah, I guess just tempo changes in Wish You Were Here, especially. Primarily Wish You Were Here was harder. We had Dark Side locked in because I was so familiar. Well, mm-hmm. We were all so familiar.
I'm sure the audience sings along with it because, you know.
Yeah.
But back in the day. A lot of it is having the kind of classic Nick Mason drums. And I mean, we're so lucky to have Johnny, who's just got that deep kind of soulful pocket. And has a kind of steady, like, huge drum sound. And our keyboard player, Nick, just did, like, a brilliant job on sorting out all the kind of sounds and getting the synth tones right.
Yeah.
Which is obviously, like,
a sax player, too, right?
Yeah, Nate Payne.
Yeah.
He's from this area. He played with numerous other bands, too, and he's great, too. Like, he's fantastic. Yeah, he does a lot of improv and stuff like that, and he's great right off the cuff.
I mean, it's progressive rock, but there's a lot of kind of jazz intonation in it well, which is
It's jazzy. Great. It gets jazzy sometimes.
Yeah, it does get jazzy sometimes.
Yeah.
What's the lasting appeal of Pink Floyd? Why do you think they've become timeless?
For me, personally, or just
for both of you? I'll ask you both the same question.
Yeah, I mean, for me, they were just one of the rock bands that did songwriting right, and the kind of whole audio experience. I mean, you put on the album, and that was 45 minutes right there, you know, better than any TV show. And that's something that, I mean, there's a couple bands that I really like nowadays, Grizzly Bear, Radiohead, Animal Collective, mm-hmm. were doing similar kinds of things, great kind of sonic textures, but Floyd were definitely like pioneers in my book.
I think so. Have you guys ever been to, have you seen their live show?
I've seen Gilmore live at Massey Hall on my 19th birthday. I went with my dad, and that was something I'll never forget. And then the same year I saw the Roger Waters tour. He was just touring, I don't know, I think he was just promoting a new album, which was fantastic. And then this year my girlfriend Jen and I went to see The Wall. Like, the Roger Waters was touring The Wall, and that was out of this world. Like, the Rogers Center isn't a great venue to see bands because the sound is crap.
It depends mm-hmm. who's doing the sound. But it depends on the layout.
I've never heard sound like that. Like, it was literally like there was like, you know, it sounded like there was a helicopter right above my head, and I was looking up, like, looking for it. And it was freaky, like, how like enclosed in that sound. It's sort nuts. It was nuts. And there's not a bad seat in the house for it either.
Nope. It took me a while to see Pink Floyd, but I finally saw them live, and I'm like, it was like a sort of an omni-sensual experience. I can't even
outer body.
Yeah. Kind of like that, because you're sitting there and all of a sudden there's this pig flying above you, and it's just drifting there, right? So you, and the music kind of makes you drift anyway.
Yeah.
Because I was at a video store last night. I put on Pulse.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Oh my God. Yeah. And I just, you know, and it was just like that. I know all the notes. So I was thinking, they're all in my head, because I have all the Pink Floyd on vinyl, so I used to listen to all of it. And when I was DJing, I'd often play Animals.
Nice. One of the albums that we want to do.
Animal. I was going to say, what is your next endeavor for Pink Floyd? I'm gonna cue up something that Jack wanted. It was, what was it?
I love the Grizzly Bear there.
Grizzly Bear, okay.
Our next Floyd.
Well, I mean, if it were up to us, I mean, we'd probably do something, you know, that the hardcore Floyd fan would appreciate, like Animals.
Animals would be cool.
But
we had talked about just not doing a show for a year, going into hibernation.
Going into hibernation.
And then learning The Wall. But like, I mean, to put on the whole live show, the actual production of it. And for us, like, we don't really want to do anything like half, you know, halfway there.
You don't want to do anything half-assed.
I didn't want to say ass on the radio, but now that you've said it, it's cool.
You can say ass.
Yeah, okay,
that.
So we didn't want to do anything half-assed, and we'd never want to do anything half-assed. So I mean, to do the wall would require getting in a physical wall and knocking it down. And on top of that, what venue around here can support that? Yeah. You know, like,
but
so.
On a related note, we are looking for any kind of large inflatable pigs that audience members might have in their garages.
Yeah, just...
All right, anybody listening, if you have a large inflatable pig, please contact us.
Yeah, oh, or somebody's... just put it on Kijiji or something and we'll find it.
Yeah. We're looking.
We're looking for large inflatable pigs.
That would be, yeah, that would be so cool. Okay, we're going to take another musical break here, and this is Jack's request. Okay.
Grizzly bears.
Grizzly bears. Why do you like grizzly bears?
They're just one of those groups where you can envy any one of the musicians, and they're all kind of doing their own thing at the same time, all doing crazy four-part harmonies, and especially on this album, their first album, Yellow House, they have a great kind of studio layered sound.
Okay.
You'll hear it.
It's Grizzly Bear on Coral FM.